everybody, and welcome to episode number 283 of Film Wax Radio. This episode is sponsored by Fandor. You can go to Fandor.com and find myriad festival films, including shorts and mid-length films of all varieties and genres, and it's a great service. They are really steeped in the culture of independent film. In fact, this episode that you're listening to right now, number 283, is devoted to a new initiative that they have. I'm really interested in not just the fact that they're my sponsor, of course, so not just that, I'm happy to do it because I think they're doing really interesting things and in trying to support independent filmmakers. And this episode is kind of dedicated to a new initiative which will illustrate just that. And so let me see if I can explain it. Fandor has decided to get into the content creation business. You've heard of other streaming services that occasionally have started doing that. But Fandor is going to underwrite five filmmakers that are part of their Fix program, which are filmmakers that they have relationships with, that they have content of theirs on Fandor. And they've reached out to five of them, and we're going to have on someone from Fandor to help guide me through this whole situation. You'll be hearing me talk to her. Her name is Amanda Salazar, and she'll be here in just a moment. But they reached out to these five. They said, we're going to give you $5,000 each. And then they also partnered up with Kickstarter. And the idea is that each of these five filmmakers are going to do a Kickstarter campaign and raise another $5,000. And what this will do is it will help to raise awareness of this project, because, you know, a lot of people are aware of Kickstarter. So if you go to kickstarter.com/pages/Fandor, you can learn all about these filmmakers who me and Amanda are going to be talking about, and then I'll be introducing segments, very brief segments, with all five of those filmmakers on this episode of Film Wax Radio. And those people include David Schendel, Maya Erdelyi, who has been on this podcast before, Lori Felker Monahan, he's a one-named filmmaker. Maybe it was an economical choice just to have one name, Monahan. And finally, last but not least, Ben Russell. So all of these filmmakers are going to be on in just a minute, and you'll see. I've structured this episode a little differently than anything I've ever done before. I think you'll like it. I think you'll find it entertaining. And we're going to talk to Amanda Salazar about these five Fix Shorts filmmakers right now. They're Kickstarter campaigns end on April 10th. So I urge you to go to, again, kickstarter.com/pages/Fandor and find out all about it. You can also go to Fandor website, and on their top rotating banner, there is also information about it and all five of our lovely filmmakers. So that's this episode. Thank you for listening. Let's get right into my conversation with Amanda Salazar from Fandor and our five Fix Short filmmakers. Amanda, tell me about this. I guess I'm going to call it an initiative because it's the first time that Fandor is dipping its toe in content creation. It's called the Fix Shorts filmmakers.
Fix Shorts is the name of it. I can say that one more time. Fix Shorts. It's a little bit of a mouthful.
It is, but tell me what Fix is. For those who don't know.
So Fix is actually our filmmaker initiative that is on Fandor. So as a digital, you know, SVOD platform, we are, you know, and have grown over the years. We have been working with a lot of filmmakers that have directly licensed with us. And Fix grew out of those relationships that we have with filmmakers. And so on our platform, we were really looking for ways to highlight filmmakers and keep up with their current and past work and really try to connect them and be a part of that community. And some from that spawned Fix. So it is our filmmaker initiative on Fandor. We feature right now over 135 filmmakers are a part of Fix, and it continues to grow. Mm-hmm. And from Fix, we then went into Fix Shorts. So we decided that, you know, we're working with all of these filmmakers. We've been in contact with a lot of them. You know, we're building out their filmmaker pages online. And this idea came about, you know, original content specifically with short films. So we approached only the fixed filmmakers that we had. So this opportunity was only open to those filmmakers that we already had direct relationships with. And from there, we essentially came up with the idea of funding some short films, five specifically we were going to start out with. And we were going to essentially seed part of the project and then partner with a crowdfunding site, Kickstarter, to really, you know, help build out the community and the audience around these films. And so we're partnering with them to raise the other half of the funds.
Okay. So these were five filmmakers that were already licensing content,
yes,
with you guys.
These were five filmmakers that are already on Fandor. They have, okay. They already have work that you're able to go and watch on Fandor right now. So we were working again with those filmmakers specifically. So it was an open call to the fixed community that we have,
right,
as we're trying to build it out. I think this was the next step. Why don't we get into, you know, helping them making current work as well?
That sounds great. Why don't we talk about these five folks, and we'll then, as you describe each filmmaker and film project, if as best you can, then we'll hear a couple of minutes from each one of them.
Fantastic. Well, the five projects, I think, definitely represent the diverse nature of the fixed program, and it's really exciting. Everything is very different. And I guess we can start with, you know, Maya Irdeli. She's an experimental animation filmmaker, and we actually have a couple of her films on Fandor. And her project is going to be the first time that she's actually working with film footage. And
she's an animator.
And animation. Yes, she is an animator.
And she was on Filmwax Radio already.
Yes, she was.
So
she had a wonderful interview with you already.
Yeah, so I was very happy to welcome her back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from her about her description of this film, and then we'll come back to you.
I've been working with digitizing like all the Super 8 reels that were left to me by my grandmother, and I have about like 3 hours of footage, so it's a lot to look at, and it's a lot to think about, and you know, everything is sort of like very personal and sort of precious, because it's like, doesn't exist anywhere else, and you know, there isn't that much footage, you know, so it's like, wow, like this one moment in time was documented. And it's sort of a Holocaust story, but it's like, what happened after the Holocaust? What happened to people that survived? And the thing is, like, my grandmother finally got to America after all these sort of trials and tribulations. She was basically Jewish in Budapest during the war, and just all these tragedies that happened, or these, you know, sort of things that life presents you that you have to sort of just make a decision on. And you know, so she went into hiding.
Wow.
She had to put my father in hiding. My grandfather was taken away from the family and was sent to a concentration camp. And, you know, she had to make decisions based on survival, based
right.
on, like, we need this child to survive. What do we have to do, you know? And so, you know, they made certain decisions. And finally, you know, they were living under communism. And then that was sort of not tolerable either. And so they basically just escaped, like, under barbed wire with, like, paid guides in the middle of the night, you know, into Austria. And then they took a boat. They took a train to get to Italy and then took a boat from there to South America. I mean, she always wanted to come to America. That was always a dream of hers. And so then finally she gets to America. She marries an American man and she is married basically for the rest of her life after that. They were married about 50 plus years to the end of his life. And he was like, total old school American family, like had been here since the Mayflower, and he like loved to shoot Super 8, and so like all this footage has been shot on these trips that they took, you know, and they did the sort of the typical American like road trips and, you know, visiting all the national monuments. So it's like I'm watching these things and I'm thinking to myself, okay, like, you know, this might be kind of like whatever for some people, like, okay, they're visiting Mount Rushmore and in Joshua Tree, and they're just like, there's all this footage of the road trips and just driving down roads in America. But if there's this added layer, deeper layer of like history that people maybe would not be aware of just looking at this footage, which is like what it took for my grandmother to even just do these sort of banal American road trips. So yeah, so that's kind of the idea, is kind of to tell the past through the footage of being in America.
Okay, so that was that. Do you have the information at your fingertips to Maya's, her end goal date for her campaign when it ends?
Yes, they're actually, all the campaigns are ending on April 10th at 10 o'clock.
Oh, April 10th at 10 o'clock in the evening Pacific time.
Correct. They've all been set for April 10 at 10.
And not only are they diverse in terms of the kind of content that they're making and they've created and their styles, but also they're spread out. I know David, having just spoken with him, David Shendell, who we'll hear from in a few minutes, he's in San Francisco, just down the block from you guys up at in your office. And then I know Maya's here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Lori is, she's in Chicago.
Lori is Chicago-based. Yes, we do have filmmakers all over the U.S. You know, Monahan and Maya, as you mentioned, are both in New York. Ben is actually traveling right now, filming his movie.
And
so
Ben is somewhere in the Amazon or something.
Exactly, somewhere in the jungle. And he will probably most likely be back in Paris, I believe, shortly. Lori is based out of Chicago.
All right, so I'm glad to know. So April 10th at 10 o'clock, all the campaigns, they're all calibrated accordingly. Well, her film sounds really incredible. I mean, Maya's films, from what I heard. I'm really excited for her because I'm already a fan of her animation.
Yes.
Who's up next? We have, let's talk about Monahan, who's another Brooklyn-based filmmaker.
Fantastic. Yes, Monahan, or Maximin Monahan. He'll probably actually like to introduce himself just as Monahan. He's actually new to the Fix program, and his project is, in a lot of ways, is going to be very fun. And I think it really is an example of his personality, and he's been their project, I think, 5 days in, actually made their goal, but they are up for a stretch goal. They'd like to go in and hire specifically a cinematographer that they're looking towards. But this is going to be a road trip film, and I'm very excited about this project because the script that we got is very touching, and there's a lot of structure to it. But what really is going to be a lot of fun is to see, you know, how they end up, because they're essentially bringing out as one of their cast members from Amsterdam and really taking him on this American, classic American road trip across the U.S. And so they'll be making lots of great stops, and it will be quite interesting to kind of have the other perspective of, you know, somebody, you know, a foreign person in our country coming to see what America has to offer.
Well, let's listen to a couple of minutes of Monahan himself, who I spoke with earlier, describing his film.
Fantastic.
We just were out to dinner. We were showing the film at this film festival in San Francisco, and we were all out to dinner. And we also just sort of mentioned in passing that we were going to do this sort of cross-country road trip with this really insane, like, very, very funny friend of mine from Amsterdam. And, my mother was trying to get rid of her car. She didn't want to have a car anymore. And she was just going to give it away and asked me if I wanted it. And I was like, oh, this is too great. It's like I can get my friend to finally fulfill his dream of coming to America and seeing the country, and then drive him across the country in this new, you know, in this car that my mother's going to give me. And, you know, the car is an old beater. It might not make it, but that will just add to the drama. And, and this friend is, he's seriously, seriously funny. Like one of the funniest people I know, and he is the funniest person I know, and just his, you know, his sort of wide-eyed, romanticized notion of what America's all about, also mixed with his sort of fear of all the stuff he hears in the news, it will just, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff there. So we were mentioning this to Marlo, and he he said, you know, this sounds great. I'd like to get behind it. Maybe if you send me a script by Monday, and this was like Saturday night, I can, see if I can help get some money for you. And we're like, oh man, this sounds incredible. But we didn't have a script, you know, obviously it's a sort of unscripted thing. It's more, if anything, more improv thing. So, but it's really a documentary. And, I said, yeah, I'll give you a pretty fleshed out treatment. Is that going to work? And he's like, yeah, that will be fine. So we sent it in. And then, you know, it was after all that we found out that it was like this whole thing for the Fix filmmakers, which is the Fandor Film Initiative. You know, they have this sort of gang of filmmakers that are all super, they're just really great filmmakers. And then he said, yeah, maybe we can include you in this and have you be one of the projects. And so it was at that point we realized it was like actually we're being sort of championed together and being supported together. And then the other shoe dropped where it was like, oh, and by the way, there's a Kickstarter and, you know, you guys are going to have to do it, you know, a little bit quicker than you probably want to hear. But this is, you know, to make it launch properly, we got to really get it out there.
Now, what if so? One thing I did also learn in talking, I think it was to David, who we can bring on next. But I thought initially incorrectly, so I believe that in order for the filmmakers to get the $5,000, regardless of whether they make their Kickstarter goal, is it contingent on that?
No. When we opened this up to the fixed filmmakers, we wanted to let the filmmakers really have the freedom to make whatever they wanted to make. So, but with that, we also had to, you know, create some boundaries and restrictions. And that was, they had to present a treatment or a script, depending on what they were, you know, looking to make, and a budget of around $10,000 or less. That was because, you know, Fandor was going to come in at half the originating budget, so $5,000, and then we were going to go to Kickstarter to raise the other half. So either way, you know, they will be getting this $5,000 from Fandor. We're really hoping, though, based on the budgets that they submitted, you know, we're hoping that all of these Kickstarters are successful. Everything that they make above and beyond their Kickstarter goal, it's for the filmmaker to use for their film. So we're really hoping, obviously, that they're all successful and make even more so they can, you know, have that money to go towards other things outside of their budget that they didn't really get to account for when they submitted to us.
Got it. Okay. Next up here is David Schendel. Who made, a few years back, I know he made a film called Yank Tanks, which I believe is on Fandor, right?
Yes, it is. We do have Yank Tanks on Fandor. And a San Francisco-based filmmaker. So, again, a very interesting project. This was something, we read the script, and it was really exciting and very original. And I don't want to give too much away, and I'll let David, you know, speak more about the project. But it's definitely something that I think it will resonate with all audiences, which is really nice to see.
I know. When we spoke before, he's also couldn't give a whole lot of information. He spoke a little bit, teased me a little, and by extension, our listeners. But he said, if you go check out the campaign page, you know, on Kickstarter, you'll learn a little bit more. But he's very careful because there's a lot of mystery around the story. And so he certainly understands how to dangle the bait in front of it's great because now we're invested in this in so many ways. So, here's a little bit of my conversation with David.
Dead Ink Archive. It's about a man with a very surprising hobby. And that hobby leads him to live for just one day a year. The idea is that, you know, obviously there's more details on the Kickstarter page. If I'm going to ask someone to fund my film, I need to give them an idea of what it's about. But I guess I'm trying to keep it mysterious so that will lead them to the Kickstarter page to find out more about it. It's going pretty well. I'm getting up there. I'm close to $3,000 out of the $5,000, with halfway through the run. So I'm feeling pretty confident. I mean, obviously, you never know about these things. I mean, you know, you could get $1,000 in one day and then not get anything for a week. So it is kind of a nail biter all the way to the end. I think that it's also, you know, full time job is pretty accurate summation of it. I think that. Just doing the research, developing the stuff, and getting it up on the web takes you about a week. Because you need to have associated websites, Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, you know, setting up MailChimp for mass emails. I mean, all these things take time. It's, you know, you have to be your own publicist and brand strategist. And, yeah, it's turning into an industry unto itself. I mean, as you can see by... Every time you launch a crowdfunding campaign, the first people that contact you are 5 to 10 people that want to pay them money so they can funnel people to your page. Yeah, so I mean, it's a big industry now. It's not the same old little, you know, help out the little guy site that it used to be. I think it's effective in some cases for sure.
You know, as a footnote, he's also got this other feature documentary project about a comedy club. That he's also finishing up, so I'm looking forward to that as well, and I'm sure you guys will hopefully premiere it or at least, you know, stream it eventually.
Yes, definitely. We're very excited about and all the filmmakers' work, what they're doing currently and have already worked on. And yes, specifically David's newest film, The Comedy Club, we're very excited about.
Amanda, tell me a little bit about how your relationship with Kickstarter works and how much they are involved in this project.
Of course. You know, it was really important for us to get a feeling for, you know, how Kickstarter works, how crowdfunding works. I've done one myself. I've, you know, done a Kickstarter campaign personally, and I know it's very difficult. So we, especially in this project where we wanted five filmmakers to launch projects all at the same time, but really let them have their voice come through with what they're offering. And at this, but also at the same time, you know, offer Fandora is, you know, a part of the rewards. We're, you know, grouping them together. So it was really important to get the advice of the folks at Kickstarter. And so they've been very helpful in working with the filmmakers, just, you know, in those questions that they might have of, does this work, or what kind of rewards can I give? And it was really nice to have them on board and really supportive of these projects. In a way, they really saw the benefit of building out the audiences and what Fandor is doing, and, or, you know, for this project. I mean, these are short films, and, you know, I really think that shorts are coming back. Not that they ever left, but,
well,
you know,
thanks to you,
right? But it's really important to build an audience and not just go in, you know, take that step into original content, which we've been looking to do, but this is really about the filmmaker having that creative freedom to make whatever they want and know at the end of it that it will be able to have an audience on Fandor and hopefully at festivals as well. So it was nice that Kickstarter really understood that and was more about, you know, really supporting the filmmakers, and they want to help it succeed as well.
Next up here, we have Lori Felker, who is an experimental filmmaker, I suppose you could say.
Yes, and she'll, you know, probably describe herself as this, but this will be her first conventional narrative short. Again, one of those scripts that we read, and it's delightful, is, you know, the best way to put it. And I'm very excited about how she's going to put this together. I really love her work. She has, you know, 10 films on Fandor already, and this is just going to add to the mix. And I'm, as she'll probably explain, you know, there's a lot of cats involved, which I am also a big fan of. So it has a seriousness to it, but it's also very humorous.
Oh, well, I don't know if she mentioned cats, but...
Okay.
But
it's not giving anything away, but it's
okay.
Be great.
Well, I'm a cat lover.
All right.
Sure. And I spoke with Lori earlier also. She called me from the Ann Arbor Film Festival, which is going on as we speak, as it turns out. But this is Lori and describing her film.
Started with some of that TV show stuff and then some of the more experimental 16mm films. Then they slowly created this fixed group of people, right? These independent or experimental short and independent filmmakers. And so, oh, here I was part of this fixed group. And then when they asked if we wanted to, you know, submit a script, I thought, oh, this seems like a good opportunity to try all these kind of narrative short film ideas I have. And I kind of went through what I had, and some were too long, too expensive, or I wasn't quite ready. And then there's this one that just seems so, it's so simple. It takes place in one room on one night, and it's two, I would keep joking that it's 2.5 actors because it's two adults and a kid. And I thought, okay, this is totally possible if they happen to like it. And so when I sent it in, I actually didn't expect much because no one's ever read it. No one had ever read the script. I had finished it kind of recently. I just thought it would be worth a shot. And then I was so excited to be chosen. It's an amazing, like, encouragement to have, to just, like, throw something out there and then have some really smart film people tell you that they like it and they want to give you money. It's kind of amazing. So this film it's two people who have been in a relationship for a long time, but one of them had their job changed, and so she lives further away. And so they're still together, and they just spend periodic times together. It's kind of a classic long-distance relationship, but it was one that started together and then ended up being pulled apart. And so the relationship takes place on a night where she comes back, quote-unquote, home to where they used to live together for, you know, for like a weekend or something, a break from work. And they hadn't seen each other in like 3 months. So it's all everything that really takes place is just them revealing things in the conversation about what they've missed in each other's lives, mm-hmm. and what is sort of confusing them now that they're not keeping up with each other. And then some absurd things happen.
So let's say I'm a filmmaker, Amanda, and I'm intrigued by this fix program that you've got there at Fandor. Is there something I can do, or do I have to wait to be contacted by, Fandor?
Well, actually, as we're building out this program, that's a great question to ask. I mean, essentially, filmmakers can submit to Fandor. It's pretty much an open submission process. You can send a DVD or screener links. All that information is on our website. And we are a curated site, so we take pride in the fact that we look at everything that comes through our doors. And I think from there, we want to build out these relationships with filmmakers. So if there's an interest of having your films up on Fandor, it's a pretty simple process. But we, it usually takes a couple weeks, as you can imagine. And some of these, relationships and filmmakers have been, filmmakers we've met at film festivals or have seen their films previously. And it was quite, part of the invitation process, so to speak. But a lot of our filmmakers as well come through just by submitting to Fandor. They love the films that are on our site. They want to be a part of that community. And they've just submitted. And from there, we like their work and we kind of get the ball rolling that way.
Great. So they should go to Fandor.com. And obviously in the menu system or on the bottom, there's a link for contact and type those types of that type of information of how you can submit your film.
Or correct.
What you're, and we'll come back to this after we hear from Ben Russell, who I know co-directed a film with Ben Rivers that was a big deal at Fandor just recently. A Spell to Ward Off the Darkness.
Yes, yes, he did. Again, we have actually over 17 films, about 17 films from Ben Russell on Fandor currently.
Wow.
And picking up awards in Rotterdam just recently. And he's actually right now off shooting his film. During this whole process, he was very excited and went ahead and went to the jungle to go and shoot. So yeah, and he's actually on board and making the movie as we speak.
He would have Skyped with me from where he was today, except that he was coming up river. And apparently there was a lot of reggae music and sound of rushing water that would have made that difficult to do. So I appreciate it. But nevertheless, here is Ben talking about his short. What's the name of his short?
His short is called He Who Eats Children.
Okay. Well, here is Ben Russell talking about his short, He Who Eats Children.
The film is called He Who Eats Children, and it's a sort of speculative portrait of this Dutch hermit who moved to Suriname, which used to be a Dutch colony, in 1979, right before independence, and was there, somehow ended up living in the jungle during this revolution in the interior that happened. And he's stayed there ever since, and he became fluent in Saramaccan and started fixing motors and fixing boats and working with the local population. At some point, I was there in 1998 for 2 years with the Peace Corps, and I heard the only thing I heard about him was that he ate children. And I've been back a bunch of times. I've made other films there, but I figured it was time to sort of turn the lens on somebody who in some way kind of represents myself in that space, which is a total outsider, somebody from a radically different culture who's trying to integrate and then has a kind of pretty incredible myth constructed around him. I mean, this rumor happens. It happened about 20 years ago, and it still persists. So the film is kind of, it's an inquiry both into like who this guy is and what the background or foundation for kind of plausibly believing that somebody who eats children continues to exist within a certain community. The Saramaccan they're animists, and they practice a form of religion called Ovia, and so there's a lot of belief systems that function around spirits and gods and what we would call like superstition and such, and a lot of that stuff gets plugged in along with a fair amount of kind of post-colonial distrust, I think.
You know, you mentioned before, by the way, something, and that is about how Fandor is really one of the few places people can see shorts, I mean, on demand, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from talking to Monahan about his short, it's like going to be a pretty long. I mean, it falls into that area between either a long short or a short feature, mm-hmm. and there's just nowhere other than festivals. But even that's difficult to get programmed in. If you have a lot of festivals in your area, well, you could see shorts there, but there's almost nowhere else to see something that's not feature length or broadcast length, you know, without a place like Fandor, right?
Yes, you are correct. And Fandor is one of the few places that you're able, you know, that license short films specifically. And I think that really comes from our belief in storytelling and that's really at any lengths. It's at, you know, a good story can be told in a couple minutes, can be told in hours. And we actually have content that ranges from that, from, you know, under a minute to, 6 hours long.
Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I mean, this all sounds very good. And really, I can't wait till April 10th.
Yes, we will be watching closely as the projects continue to do very well. And if you feel inclined, please you can come to Fandor and click on any of our announcements. It will lead you to their Kickstarter pages. Also, if you go to Kickstarter.com, there's a curated page for Fandor, and there you'll find all five projects. And please take a look at all of them because they range, obviously, as you've heard from the filmmakers, in style and, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. But also their rewards are they're just so great to see how each one of them came up with very unique and fun rewards to really get the audiences excited about the films that they're making.
Thank you, Amanda.
Of course. Thank you, Adam.
Well, thank you for listening. I hope you dug it. I hope you got something out of that, and I hope it's kind of piqued your interest, you know, because this is the kind of story that interests me. You know, I hope that this was entertaining. We're going to go back to a more conventional episode next, where I'm going to be bringing start playing all my South by Southwest content up next week, as well as a very special episode with Olivier Assayas coming up, whose new film, The Clouds of Seals Maria, is coming out theatrically in early April, so you'll want to listen to that. Thank you so much for listening to this special Fandor-sponsored episode of FilmWax Radio. My name is Adam Chartoff. The name of the show, again, FilmWax Radio, presented by Rooftop Films. Thank you so much. Until next time.